Glenn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeLaHart along with Dave Bourne on this fabulous Friday in the Mid-Willamette Valley. And welcome to Newsmakers, where every noon, every weekday, we spend talking about local issues and local ideas and local initiatives, local institutions, and local individuals. And I did hit them all. Dave, did I get them all?
Ideas? I think you covered it.
All that alliteration. Here we go.
You
we
ran
covered
it.
All of that. But the emphasis on local and things that affect our lives, things that affect our pocketbooks, things that affect our quality of life, with a big component of learning something new every day, right? So welcome. I've got a guest in today that I invited in. The subject matter I think is fascinating. I wouldn't have him here. And the role in the community is critical. So we have the general manager of Salem Kaiser Transit. Affectionately known as Chariots. We see a lot of Chariots buses around, and a lot of people are under the impression that, well, there's a lot of misconceptions, actually. It's Alan Pollock. Well, welcome, Alan.
Great. Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, funny story. I was a city council, as you know, many years ago. Seems further and further behind. But 2004 to 2008 here in Salem, and I took a phone call from a person who would not believe me when I told them that they were not city buses.
Right.
Right. This is, well, yeah. And he wanted to talk about the buses. And I said, well, that's not really our governance. And he says, well, what are you talking about? And no matter, I mean, I don't know. I ran out of ways to phrase it in terms of Salem Kaiser Transit is a much bigger, it's bigger than Salem in terms of the service coverage area. And it's not governed by the city of Salem. So,
not anymore. So it used to be a city department back in the 70s.
Yeah, it's a while back.
Yeah. And so, as it did grow bigger and expanded outside the city of Salem, we became our own special district.
So let's clarify that right up front. So special district means you have your own boundaries, right? Like a school district has a boundary and a city has a boundary. So Salem Kaiser Transit has a boundary. It's a special district. It has its own taxation base.
Correct.
And it has its own elected leadership.
Yes, it does.
Right. So you are, and your role is general manager. So you run the joint, right?
I do my best.
So you're the person who has the management expertise and history to manage transit, right?
Yes.
And the people who are elected, you're in effect, your bosses, right?
Correct.
So they're the elected body that govern and so forth, and they are citizens that are volunteers, right?
Right, yeah. So our service boundaries for Chariot service is the urban growth boundary for Salem Kaiser. And that's broken up into seven sub-districts, and we have one elected representative from each sub-district.
All right, so they're elected from each area. They don't, like, vote citywide like they do for a mayor kind
Correct.
Of thing. All right, that prompts a question. The urban growth boundary, does when that urban growth boundary changes, do your boundaries automatically change?
Yes, yeah. There was a change somewhere along the way that as the urban growth boundary expanded or contracted, so would our service area by default.
Okay. Yeah. Well, when was the last time we saw that happen? Before your time, probably.
Well, when you do annexes, so as a piece of property annexes into the city, if it's not already within the UGB, then but not too often.
Okay. Acronyms again.
Yeah. Urban growth boundary. Well, we talked about that in previous shows.
Yes, we have.
And how the land use system is designed to contain growth into an urban area to protect, you know, forested lands and, more importantly, farmlands.
And it raises the prices of housing.
Yeah, it does have a tendency to...
And land, yeah.
It limits the amount of land that's available. But on the flip side, there actually is a requirement from state law. We're getting off Alan's subject. But,
right.
But since you asked, there is a requirement for each city or municipality to have available amount of growth for a certain number of years. I think it's 20 or something like that. That
sounds about right.
So they're required to have, and if they don't have 20 years of growth that's available, they're required to mitigate that somehow. So,
fix it.
Urban growth boundary changes or growth or what have you. All right. So we're talking about the boundaries. It's Salem and Kaiser urban growth area. That's the circle. And everybody who's in that owns property pays property tax and supports.
That's correct. Yeah. We're funded. Our local funding source for Chariots is the property tax. It's 76 cents per thousand is our rate.
Okay. And... Okay, so you said it was founded in the 70s. in your governance, you have seven individuals, and there's a chair and what have you. It's a board, similar like the school board.
We are a special district, just like the school district or a local. We're a local government that covers different area. Yeah.
So don't go to your city councilor. If you want to have feedback, your personal feedback to your elected officials, you go to the transit board.
Yes, that's correct.
Seven members there. All right. So how big is your organization? So you're the boss man, and how big? You've got bus drivers, you've got administrators, sure. You've got finance sure. departments and a whole lot.
Sure. So we have about 175 direct district employees. We also contract out a lot of our services, so we probably have around 120 employees that are work for us through the contract.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
120 plus 175 that work directly.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's going to be a whole bunch of topics we're going to get to today in terms of what equipment you use, how many different programs, what equipment leaves the boundaries and brings people in and circulates there, and a new tax that has just kicked in, right?
July 1st.
Just kicked in, and there's a new tax that everyone is paying, whether you know it or not, or whether you screened your details of your of your paid stuff, that's going to help support more services and the growth into that. Lots of things to talk about. So I'm going to start with, all right, everybody, when they think transit, they think of the buses on the streets. What else should they be thinking about?
Sure. So we do provide a wide array of services, but so let's start with that service, the chariots, the big bus service. Mm-hmm. That's what we're best known for. That is the bus service within the urban growth boundary, the Salem-Keizer urban growth boundary. So that's our biggest and most productive service. That something that goes along with that is our Americans with Disabilities Act paratransit service, which is known as Chariots Lift. Those okay. are the smaller vans you see running around town. To qualify for that service, you have to have a medical condition that you have to apply. You have to qualify for. Mm-hmm. It's generally designed for those who cannot ride the big bus service for either all or some of the rides. So there's full eligibility, conditional eligibility, just depending on each person's circumstance. So we provide that within the urban growth boundary also. It's called complimentary service, not free, but it has any agency who provides fixed route service, that's the chariot service, has to provide the complimentary alternative service for people with disabilities who can't ride the chariot's bus.
All right, so that's required of you
that
by the federal government.
It is,
right?
Yes.
Do they pay for it?
No.
Okay.
Really? They don't give you any extra money for that?
No, it's
really
unfunded mandates, I think,
wow.
is the catchphrase.
Yeah.
But it is an important service because those that do need it, it's important for their ability to get around town, just like you and I.
So if I'm in a wheelchair and I have a sidewalk and there's a bus stop close to me, then I have the mobility to get there. But if you don't have a sidewalk or you don't have a bus stop nearby, then you need a chariot's lift.
Right. Yeah,
right?
And we have people who, that's their condition, is they may not be able to use chariot's bus because there isn't a good sidewalk from where they live to the nearest bus stop. So we will take them somewhere, but then in and around town, they can ride the bus. And we have lots of wheelchair riders who ride the big bus.
Yeah.
Just because you're in a wheelchair doesn't mean you qualify for the paratransit service.
So one of the cool things about the equipment, and we're going to talk about your various kinds of equipment, but certainly the big buses, they'll all take a wheelchair, right? They have the lift capacity.
Yes.
And they'll all take bikes, too.
Yes.
So I know there's bike racks in the front, and people can do a combination of biking and transit and what have you. Okay, so there's what else are we thinking about in terms of things that are rolling on the roads.
Sure. So, there's a lot more that we offer. So in addition to the chariots and chariots lift service, we have outside of the urban growth boundary service. That's our regional service. We serve the smaller towns in Marion and Polk County. That service generally designed to bring people into Salem in the morning for an 8-to-5 type of job and then bring them back home in the evening. We have some in middle-of-the-day routes also, but that's our regional service. Now, that is separately funded from the chariot service. So the property tax that we pay is for the chariot service. That stays within the urban growth boundary. We have state and federal funds for that regional service.
And a cost share, hopefully, for the people who are utilizing it.
Yes.
For the commuters and what have
everyone
you.
Everyone pays a fair.
All right, so we're circulating out of the urban growth boundary. I heard earlier Monmouth Independence brings people into town. They can ride the bus and go home when they're done working. All right, so much more to talk about. Stay with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Ford on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne in the studio here on Newsmakers, where we talk about all things local and regional. And we've got Alan Pollack here in the studio with us today. He's the general manager of Salem Kaiser Transit, affectionately known as Chariots. And so many things to let you folks know about and learn about and about how it all works. But first of all, Alan, where did you come from? I mean, you got the job. How long have you been on the job?
I've been here 11 and a half years.
11 and a half years. You're not a newbie anymore.
Not anymore.
And we hired you away from somewhere.
Yes. So I came from Southern California. So I've been in the transit industry now almost 25 years. Started down in Orange County, California. Worked for Orange County Transportation Authority, which is a big countywide agency. Wow. Kind of like a TriMet. Then I moved up into Los Angeles County, worked for a smaller city transportation service. Went there because I wanted the ability to learn more. And the big agencies, you're kind of stovepiped into certain areas. And so I was there for 10 years. And then when Chariot's opening came up, I sought it out.
Was it your first time in Oregon? You moved up here? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I'd been up to the Northwest before, and this was kind of a place that we looked at as a retirement place, and we just got here early.
Yeah. Wow. There you go. Yeah. You ought to be settled. And what jurisdiction were you in Los Angeles County?
It was Montebello Bus Lines.
Montebello.
For the city of Montebello.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we provide service within the city. About half our service within the city, and the other half went to downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah. The Los Angeles County is crazy in terms of, you know, a lot of, Dave, did you know that Hollywood is not a city?
What?
Yeah. Hollywood is a district of Los Angeles.
The most famous one, but...
Yeah, and then West Hollywood, on the other hand, is a city.
Interesting.
Yeah, it became a city like 1985-ish. It incorporated, but it was like any of the unincorporated lands here in Marion County.
Sure.
It was not in a city limits. It was right smack in the middle of L.A. County, surrounded by cities. So it's surrounded by, you know, Santa Monica and Los Angeles and Beverly Hills and all these things. And anyway, so I don't know. That's a sidelight. But Monticello is a city inside Los Angeles County. Yeah. All right, moving back. We're talking about Chariots. And so you've been here 11 years. You're getting the hang of this thing.
I think so.
Yeah, and we're going to finish up on services here because you had paratransit. You mentioned carts during the break.
Carts is what is now known as Chariots Regional.
Okay.
So part of what we did is try to we did a rebrand process to bring all of our services under the Chariots name because. We did some outreach to people, and people had no idea the rest of the services I'm talking about were services that we provided because we had all these different names for things. So we're trying to bring it under the Chariots umbrella so there's some consistency and so people understand all the services we provide. So in addition to what I already talked about, we also provide a shop and ride service for within the urban growth boundary for seniors and people with disabilities, whether that disability qualifies them for the Chariots List service or not. And there's two components of that. One is we've broken the service area into quadrants, and each day we focus on a quadrant and bring people to local grocery stores. And we try to do that in group trips, but much more cost efficient. That gives them a chance to shop without having to use a car. And then the other half is just what we call a dial-a-ride service. So it's a door-to-door type service for people that are seniors and people with disabilities.
So the funds for those two services, where does that come from?
That comes from a variety of sources, a little bit of general fund, which is the property tax. And then there's some state and federal funds for people with seniors and people with disabilities. Special funding we have to carve out to make sure that is provided for them.
So unlike the paratransit, they don't necessarily have to have a qualification process to...
Right. The qualification, you have to be a senior, 60 okay. or above.
Just 60?
Just 60.
Oh, I'm pushing
yeah.
that, man.
Yeah, I know.
You'll be calling them soon, won't you?
And the disability, it's you have to fill out some paperwork, mm-hmm. say what your disability is. You okay. may or may not have to get that validated, but that's a little bit more lenient because that's a service that we provide as the funds are available, where the paratransit service, we have to require, we have to provide those rides whether we have the money or not.
Right.
In addition to that, a couple other services. We have Chariot's Trip Choice, which, so the bus is not always the best option for everyone. Mm-hmm. So we have a whole program that promotes ride sharing, bicycling, walking, basically getting around to places without just being a single occupant in a vehicle. And so we can, we have a process where we can match up people that, you know, they may not know each other, but there's lots of people who work in adjacent buildings with similar hours and live generally close to each other. We have a huge database where you can submit your information. It spits out potential matches, and mm-hmm. then hopefully you can find a carpool match.
Carpool, commuter van?
Yeah, vanpools. Vanpools are generally designed for the longer trips, like, say, Corvallis mm-hmm. or somewhere coming into Salem. We have lots of between Portland and Salem vanpool services.
Yeah, my sister utilized that. She worked for Northwest Natural years ago and lived in Salem, and then for a period of time worked in Portland and took along with other Northwest Natural employees and so forth.
Yeah. That's great. And then the last thing we have, which is, I think, one of the most important things we do but not everyone knows about, is travel training. So one of the big barriers for people to ride the bus is they don't know what to do and they don't want to look silly. Mm. So we will teach them how to ride the bus, how to read the schedule, how to pull the chime when you want to get off the bus, how to pay the fare. And we do this at no cost to the people. We do this either in one-on-one or in groups. And it's a great way to learn how to ride the bus without feeling a little bit afraid.
Having to do it on the fly when you step off the curb.
Yeah.
Can they also get the same information online?
Yep. Yeah, go to chariots.org, and all this information is available there.
That's www.chariots.org. All right. I was just thinking in terms of
it's spelled differently, too. C-H-E-R-R-I-O-T-S. There you go. Yeah. I tried to
like Ben Hur, right?
Sure.
Okay. Didn't he ride a chariot? Right?
He did. The other chariot.
Oh, okay. The other chariot. Yeah. See.
I just think of that. Right. You know, when you go to a foreign country, you're going to a foreign city, and you're like, did I need to have a ticket to get on this thing? Mm-hmm. Do I buy a ticket after I get on this thing? Do I need to have cash? Can I use all those debit card things and all those questions about I'm neither new here or I'm new to this experience? So
it can be a little intimidating if you're not sure what to do.
So chariots.org, they can plan a route there. They can learn about the bus system, how to pay, and all those good things.
Well, okay. Absolutely.
All right. So those are we at the end of your services?
Yes.
Wow, that is a lot.
It is a lot.
And you have various different revenue sources to pay for that. I know it's a curiosity in terms of how much people who are riding the bus are paying as cost of the overall fare. You probably have that number right off the top of your head as a percentage, because obviously our payroll taxes are supporting it, and you get some grant money, obviously, I think, from the federal, certainly for equipment, which we're going to talk about. But then some person jumps on, they have to put money in the till as well.
Yeah. To ride the bus does require a fare. So we kind of look at it as a four-legged stool of how we pay for the services, the federal government, the state government, local through the mm-hmm. property tax, and then the rider through a passenger fare. The passenger fare, it's about generally 15% of the cost of the ride is what the passenger pays.
Okay. And what about those other three? Most of it's, or do you know?
Well, from a budgeting standpoint, so our local money through the property tax is about 25-30%. Then we also get some additional state funding in lieu of a payroll tax, because we're taxed a little differently than the other two mass transit districts. And then we get federal money. That's generally designed for capital acquisition. We do use some of it for operating, and then there's the fares.
All right. Well, let's transition to a little bit to the new money.
Mm-hmm.
The new money. So came out of the legislature, and it's a payroll tax. We're all paying now, right? And it's a tenth of a percent. Do I have that right?
Yeah. So part of House Bill 2017, the state transportation package, it was established for the first time, a statewide funding source for public transportation. It's 0.1% an employee payroll tax. We're different than how some other agencies are paid, where the employer pays it. This is the employee. So if you every employee looks at their payroll stub now, they're going to see a line item and for that withdrawal.
Is it a matter of just terminology, semantics, the payroll tax versus an income tax, or is there truly a distinction?
You stumped him.
Yeah.
Well, I can't be the only person that's asked you.
Well, I think income can come from a variety of sources. This is actually your wages. This is only on wages. So.
Oh, okay. So. All right. So they're all paying it now. What if I live in Baker City and there's no transit district? Are they also paying the tax? And where's that money go?
Yes. So there is transit in Baker City.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. A bad example, Brent. Okay.
Yeah. So everyone statewide is paying, and it goes back to either if there's a local transit agency like us for Marion and Polk County, we get the money back, and we don't get all of it back. We get we also have Woodburn Transit, which is in Marion County, is in the Silverton Trolley. So some of it gets filtered down to them, but if you don't have a transit, it goes back to the counties. And there's a whole process and a plan for them to use it. But there's transit throughout the state. It looks different in a lot of places, especially in the rural areas. But it is used throughout the state.
All right. So the tax went into effect on the 1st of July of last year?
Yes.
And the money's starting to come into the agency?
We have not
had haven't seen a dollar yet?
We expect to get the first infusion sometime in April. We actually have to apply, and we've submitted our application. And when you apply, you have to submit your plan. How are you going to use this money? And the important distinction is to enhance existing service, not to replace other funding sources, but to enhance it.
Okay.
So we have a whole enhancement plan we could talk about
later. And we're going to talk about that right after this break. We're with Alan Pollack, the general manager of Salem Kaiser Transit. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. You know, Dave, I'm having a great time. I don't know how many people like to talk about the bus system and the transit system. Alan does. Alan Pollack, he's the general manager. He's here. He's got notes and a huge background in transit and in transportation. And I have this disease, which Dave is just getting used to because he has to be on the show with me.
But right.
I find just about everything interesting.
Well, I do too. I like to learn things every day, and this is new.
I'm just fascinated. So I got this big smile on my face, and because Alan was talking during the break about what he has to do to get this new money. I mean, the legislature passed the tax, and the tax is being collected out of our payrolls and all this. And then he has to jump through a ton of requirements and applications for the money to actually reach the entities where it's going to be beneficial, right? For
Salem
Kaiser Transit. The money's earmarked for him, but he has to apply for it.
Yeah, they won't just cut him a check.
So you have to show what you're going to do with it, which I guess is, you know, as you mentioned, it's accountability for the legislature.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, every 2 years you get to...
every 2 years?
Yeah, every biennium to get the money. So anyway, except the one thing I don't find fascinating is reality TV. So we can just leave that off of Newsmakers' list of things we're going to talk about. All right, Alan. So I know you've been working on this. You've been in anticipation of the money, right? And now you're applying for the money. It's going to start rolling in. How is the planning process? Because what you were saying is you have to show that you are utilizing it not just to supplant other revenue sources, but to enhance the services. You're going to have new funds. You're going to have new services or enhanced services. So what are you planning for? What have you been doing?
Sure. So actually, over the last 2 years, we've been working on this. We have done a huge amount of public outreach into the community asking if we have additional revenue, what services would you like to see? And of course, the over and above everything else is Saturday service.
Saturday.
So that is coming.
What about weekends? What about weeknights?
Yeah, there's more to come. So beginning in September of this year, we will add Saturday service. So September 7th, 2019, first day of Saturday service. So we will do that, as well as our weekday service will go later into the evenings. So right now on the weekdays, our last buses pull out of the downtown transit center 9 p.m., do their run, and then go back to the yard for the rest of the night. Beginning in September, the last pullouts from the downtown transit center will be 11 p.m. Some routes will finish at 9, some will finish at 10, and some will finish at 11. We heard a lot about, especially for the non-traditional worker and people who work in stores and restaurants, you know, a store may close at 9 o'clock. By the time they've finished their work and check out, we've already left.
Yeah.
Now they can finish their work and then use the bus. They could use the bus to work, but couldn't necessarily get home. And another big destination for us is Chemeketa Community College. Right now on the weekdays, the evening classes, we can get people to the evening class, but our service is done before the class ends. So now people will be able to go there in the evenings. And another big thing for them is their Saturday classes. Now we'll be serving the college on Saturdays, so students will be able to get there by the bus on Saturday. So that's important. So that's what's happening in September.
Okay.
And then in May of 2020, we'll be adding Sunday service.
Wow.
As well as some holiday service. Not all the holidays, but there's some holidays that we will be providing service. Now, Saturday service is not quite as robust as the weekdays, mm-hmm. and Sunday is not quite as robust on Saturday. But we want to make sure we have some level of service out there because people don't just live their lives Monday through Friday. There's things happening every day of the week. So we want to make sure we can accommodate those who need to use transit to get about town.
And a lot of those jobs you're talking about that are non-traditional, they don't just work Monday through Friday.
No, they don't.
They work on, especially those retail. So people get to the shopping areas, both the shoppers and the employees kind of thing. And it also alleviates parking issues. So,
yes, it does.
You know, you and I have both been in enough community meetings. And there was a community battle a few years back. And there's a lot of detractors. And frankly, I see a benefit in terms of how, the parking issue downtown, parking issues everywhere. If people are taking mass transit, they're not, employees, if they're working at the mall, they may not be making enough money to pay for a $60 or $80 parking space every
day.
So they can take the transit in and alleviates parking issues and alleviates traffic and congestion issues and so forth. So I had a question, though. As you mentioned Chemeketa as an institution, how responsive can the transit district be when there is an institution like that that needs the services and changing the routes? And what I'm thinking of, two things in my head, is when the Social Security office moved to McGillcrest, and also because now you have the Social Security office and veteran services there, and Amazon's going to have 700 employees just think to start with. Is that something that creates a new route and a new need?
Yeah. Let's take the Social Security first, because that's not the great story, but okay. The Amazon is a great story. So it was unfortunate the Social Security office moved to where they did, because there's no transit access, and where they were was right next to the downtown transit center, so people could just take the bus there and walk one block and they're there. They did talk to us when they were moving, and we told them what the issues were, but they chose to move, and it was unfortunate. As compared to Amazon, so Amazon's moving into that huge facility. We are already working with them on a couple of programs, and we've actually already modified our service. So our Route 11, which is Lancaster, mm-hmm. Which runs every 15 minutes, now goes right by the Amazon facility every 15 minutes. And most of our other routes cross the Lancaster service. So we are going to be working with Amazon when they're doing their recruiting. So we provide information on how to get to and from the Amazon site via public transportation or via carpooling. So we'll have a whole part of that recruitment process. So we've been working them for a couple of months. They're not quite ready for the mass recruitment process, but when they are, we'll be right there with them. We're also working with them on what we're hoping they'll join to our bus employer bus pass program, where they buy bus passes for all their employees through a formula process, so that they will have access. Every employee will have access. One of the things that people see is they think, if you ride the bus, well, you have to ride the bus every day and sell your car. But people have choices. And some days maybe you use the bus every day for commuting, but then you use your car for your social activities, or you bike on the weekends. What we're trying to do is make the public transportation services one of the choices people can have as they go about their day. You hear a lot about the TNCs, the Ubers and Lyfts of the world, and they're a great complement to transit, because if you're going to take Uber or Lyft every day to work, that could get pretty expensive. But if you ride the bus back and forth to work, but then if you go out at night or something, you can use the TNCs as another option. So I think it's important, if you look to public transportation is one of the tools in your toolkit.
Does that take a long time, actually, that process of terms of, we need to republish a new route, or we need to redirect the route and the timing of it and all that?
It does.
Does that make a lot of lead time?
Especially if you're rerouting. If you're adjusting the schedules, it's a little bit easier process. But if you're doing a new route, for many years, one of our challenges was, if we wanted to serve a new area, we had to take it away from somewhere else. With this new state money, once we establish the baseline service, this will allow us to add different services that we don't provide now without having to replace or without removing it from somewhere else. And that's always the hard part, because someone will say, well, let's move the route over here. Well, okay, well, where should we not serve now that we're serving now to do that? And then that that's the conundrum is when you don't have new revenue and you're just repackaging.
And you'll never make everybody happy.
No.
So, and we're talking about Amazon. It's not as if Home Depot isn't already there, and there are other jobs coming to that Mill Creek industrial area there off of Cordon Road between I-5 and 22. So, and we know there's going to be more job announcements out there. There's been buildings erected and
now
people coming.
With Amazon, there's a real critical mass number of employees that really now makes transit their work.
And I think they're going to start hiring here next month.
Yeah, for some management level, but I think it's in April they're looking to really do the mass hiring. So
when they put in those improvements, do they put in bus turnouts?
Sometimes there's a bus stop that was already there. We were talking to them. They'd like to get it a little closer, but there's, with all those employees and all those trucks, there's some congestion issues. So we'll work with them, but there's already a bus stop right now. They can get off the bus and walk right into work.
Well, so September, they can look forward to Saturday service.
Yes.
And to later evening service.
On the weekdays.
To 11.
Yes.
Okay. And then going into 2020, expanded to some Sunday service.
Mm-hmm. And I've just kind of focused there on the Chariot service, but our regional service will also see enhancements. So we'll have some Saturday service on some, but not all of the regional service routes. And we'll have some more frequency. And frequency means more trips per day on the existing routes during the week.
Okay. All right. I want to talk about a little bit of equipment. We're going to have one segment after the next break. I kind of like you to address some things that I hear. There are complaints about Chariots and people who may not be intimately familiar, but do have opinions. And I hear a lot, well, they've got these big buses, and they're running these big buses, and there's not that many people in them. Why don't they just run a smaller bus? So that equipment, do you have a lot of choice in what equipment you buy? I mean, is there a lot of discretion there, or is that coming as part of a federal grant program? I know a lot of times you're getting, and it's actually true of some public safety vehicles as well. My son complains about that. Why do they have this special vehicle? Why, how come they can afford this, blah, blah, blah? Then am I going, okay, well, that came from a grant, and it came from Homeland Security, and so on and so forth. So can you speak to that?
I can.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back We'll talk about where all the buses come from and how you pay for them. You're listening to Alan Pollack, General Manager of Salem Kaiser Transit, here on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
First-time gun buyers, collectors, or seasoned hunters, you need to come this weekend to the original Rose City Gun Show at the Portland Expo Center. You'll find hundreds of tables packed with new and pre-owned pistols, rifles, shotguns, antique and collector guns, custom knives, scopes, parts, and more. The original Rose City Gun Show has it all, and you can register to win a new blue AR-15 carbine produced by Wes Nodell. It's a firearms browsing paradise. This weekend at the Portland Expo Center, Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 9 to 3. Admission $10. Private party background checks provided free for patrons.
Hello Salem, I'm Pierre Rosa, Senior Pastor at Grace Baptist Church here in town. I want to invite you to join us at 7:30 on Sunday mornings for our radio program right here on 1430 KYKN. Our program is called Truth with Grace. And if you don't attend a local church, come and visit us this Sunday morning. We meet at 9 and 10:45 at 4197 State Street, just east of Lancaster Drive. You can also find us online at gbcsalem.org. Again, that's gbcsalem.org.
So you bought your first home and it's a fixer-upper? Not to worry. A Heat and Glow gas fireplace or insert will not only significantly raise your home value, it will efficiently heat your home and save money on your gas bill. If you're looking to gain equity and update the look of your home with a new gas fireplace or insert, Heat and Glow is the way to go. Heat and Glow, available at Home Fire Stove on the corner of 17th and Market in Salem, or online at homefirestove.com. Stop by today. Let the happy elves at Honeywood Winery in Salem create wonderful Oregon gift packs for your friends and family this year. You will truly enjoy a stroll through the Honeywood Winery gift shop. Colorful gift baskets with fruits, wines, candies, wassail, and special cookies. Create your own special treat or have the experts at Honeywood help you out. It's quite affordable, and save more with a half-price gift certificate at halfpriceoregon.com. Drop by the winery gift shop at 1350 Hines Street in Salem or online at honeywoodwinery.com.
I apologize in advance for making you hungry, but you have to know about Court Street Dairy Lunch. Open since 1929, they serve omelets, burgers, sandwiches, including their Hot Thursday Thanksgiving sandwich. Try their homemade soups, hand-cut fries, or a tasty salad. Court Street Dairy Lunch is located at 347 Court Street in downtown Salem. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. They are now closed Sunday and Monday. It's the Court Street Dairy in downtown Salem.
This is Sergeant Mike. If you're thinking of downsizing or upsizing, I recommend that you contact Katie Canales of Landmark Professional Mortgage. If you've got perfect credit or a less than perfect credit score, she will help you reach your goal. Katie will get you a great rate for your situation. I've saved thousands of dollars in interest costs when taking Katie's advice. Go to bestloanprogram.com. That's bestloanprogram.com. Katie Canales at Landmark Professional Mortgage.
Equal housing lender. NMLS ID 270783. NMLS company ID 3991.
Lynn Fenton Tractors Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne. We're talking to Alan Pollack, General Manager of Salem Kaiser Transit. I hope you've learned something this hour. I have. I had no idea that they went so far out of throughout this region, throughout the Mid-Valley region of Marion Polk counties, outside the urban growth boundary of Salem-Kaiser, which is their transit district boundaries. And we were talking about equipment a little bit and the big buses. And you have big buses and little buses and rideshare vans and paratransit equipment. And where does it all come from? How do you pay for it? And some of them are diesel and some of them are natural gas. And just fill us in.
Sure. So most of our buses are purchased with federal money with a small local match because the federal government requires a local match. That's through the federal gas tax. We get the money. A portion of the gas tax goes to goes into the highway trust fund, and then 20% of that goes into the mass transit accounts.
Okay. So do you have a lot of discretion on what kind of equipment you buy?
Yes and no. Well, we have to, part of our requirements to Buy America, has to meet Buy America provisions. And there's only so many manufacturers in the country. We purchase the majority of our buses. The manufacturer is called Gillig, and they're based in Hayward, California. They're a major manufacturer of buses throughout the country. And so we buy our buses there. We have, for chariot service, we have 68 buses. Half of those run on diesel, clean diesel. The other half run on compressed natural gas that we get piped in from Northwest Natural.
All right, so the CNG, compressed natural gas, is there at your facility?
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
When you said clean diesel, do you mean like a biodiesel or
yeah,
a
sulfur-free?
Yeah,
we use biodiesel. Depending on the time of year, we'll use a B5 mixture, sometimes up to a B20 mixture.
So it smells like French fries.
We have no smell out of it.
No, okay.
Biodiesel.
Okay.
So do you have a discretion? I mean, sometimes people will see buses out in the community and they just seem large for the community, the neighborhood they're going through, and there's not many people riding them. Can you? How many seats on a standard size bus?
Sure. Our 40-foot bus will fit 40 people, and the 35 is, I think, 33. It's configured a little differently.
So can you run a 15-seat bus and save money? Would that save money fuel-wise? Yeah.
Not really.
Would the feds pay for that?
They would. And so, got to remember, one of the things we're trying to move, we're a mass transit district, we're trying to move multiple people, it would be most cost efficient. So what that means is at certain times of the day and in certain parts of a run, there's a lot of people, and then certain times of the day, there's few people. Mm-hmm. So you picture the bus that starts down at South Commercial. And it works its way up to the downtown transit center. Well, at the beginning, people get on, and then people get off along the way. So maybe they want to go to Fred Meyer there by Madrona. Mm-hmm. So they'll get off there as two other people get on. This is a radio show, so there's no visual, but we have a great video that shows the life of a trip, a bus trip, and people are getting on and off. So try to picture a restaurant. So restaurant opens for lunch, and all the tables are empty. Then a couple start to get filled, and then it's full, and then it fades away. So we kind of have the same type of thing.
Yeah, and the bus is
so you can't necessarily, okay, during peak time, you run the big bus, and then you run small buses the rest of the time, because that means you have to have twice the size of the fleet, which is more of a cost. The smaller buses aren't as durable. You know, our big buses run about 15 years before we replace them.
It's longer than a fire engine.
Yeah.
That's right.
For most.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You have a job fair. Before I get to that, there was another question I had for you. Do you, as the transit district, do any charter? Can people call up and charter a service for an event?
We do not. We're restricted. There's some federal charter regulations. What we can do is, you remember at a certain point in time, we used to run shuttles to the art fair. Mm-hmm. We can do some of that if
duck
we
games?
Can afford it.
What about duck games?
We can't
come
do
on.
Duck games.
Oh, come on. Alan. But, Beavers then.
So we don't want to compete with the private charter companies.
Okay.
There's a process that we can do it, but you have to go through an exhaustive process. And that's why sometimes you'll see, like, Lane Transit District does do some charter service for the Duck Games down in Eugene.
Yeah.
But that's a whole different process. Generally, it's designed so that, because we could just charge our marginal costs and undercut everyone.
That's right. We can't have government entities competing against the private sector.
That's really not in the business that we're in.
All right. Alan Pollack, General Manager of Salem Kaiser Transit. Tell us about the job fair you have coming up.
So we talked earlier about all this new service that's coming. Well, that new service requires new employees. So on January 31st, from 11:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Courthouse Square, which is right next to the Downtown Transit Center, we'll be holding a career fair and recruiting and talking about our job openings. There's bus operator, transit operator openings. We need people to drive those extra service. We'll be hiring some maintenance folks and some customer service folks. So really all the front-facing, customer-facing people, and then those direct support folks. So it's pretty exciting for us to be bringing these people. So people can come to the fair, learn about the jobs, learn what the criteria, the qualifications and requirements are, and talk to people who do those positions.
Is there information about that on the website?
Yes, it's on the website. We're posting it through social media and some other outlets. We just started it last night. So, start to see. You're one of the first
to help us
promote it.
January 31st.
Breaking news.
Yeah. 10 to 10. to?
11:30 to 7 p.m.
Okay, I wasn't listening. 11:30 to 7 p.m. Yeah. Courthouse Square.
Not the first time, Alan.
And, okay, we're sitting here this time next year. You have about 175 employees now. And how many more employees are you going to have with the expanded service?
We believe it's going to be somewhere around 30.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good jump.
Probably the low 20s of transit operators, five or six maintenance personnel, and three customer service folks. So,
how many people do you hire normally throughout the year?
It depends. Since we haven't been expanding service, it's usually replacement personnel. So as people retire or maybe move on to another job.
And how many is that? 3-4 years?
No. We probably hire 15 to 20 transit operators a year.
That's a lot.
So remember, this year, 2019, we'll be celebrating our 40th anniversary as a transit district.
Right.
So you imagine those operators who started at the beginning of are retiring. It's a regular process for us to recruit.
Nice.
Well, if you're interested in transit, this is a topic that really interests you. And that thing amazes me about the city, and we'll talk about this in a future show.
Of course.
I always say that to Dave.
Yes,
he's
you
like,
do.
Yeah, he'll remember. Oh. But people can serve in elected capacity. They don't have to run for governor. They can run for transit district and serve and have some input into the transit district. Chemeketa has its own board that's elected, right?
Yes.
Right? Can you get that right? So it's city council and all these other boards and commissions in the community. So if you want to serve transit. But certainly find out everything we talked about at chariots.org. And we want to thank Alan Pollack, General Manager of Salem Kaiser Transit. I hope you come back. I look forward to all the expansions and how we grow. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Babe Bourne at 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
See you tomorrow. Sorry, make that Monday. Have a good weekend.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.